Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Layback with Luke Bettis, episode 27? 28?
31.
31. Nailed it. We're gonna go solo. It's gonna be me and Eric today. Jeff had a prior arrangement. He couldn't make it, but he will be here next week, hopefully. But today we're just going to watch a few videos and talk about some current events, some things that are happening, some things that everybody should be aware of. And we're going to do two things. We're going to talk about the mass formation psychosis that's going around in our world. Have you heard about that, Eric?
No.
You never heard that term?
Mm-mm.
Mass formation psychosis. So that's what it is. It's Eric not knowing, not remembering that he knows what that term is. It's no, I'm just kidding. It's a kind of brainwashing, if you will. It's a mass. It's like hypnosis, in a sense. It's like a group of people gets hypnotized under the guise of scary things, like a pandemic, and then a lot of fear mongering, a lot of propaganda, and then, you know, something comes in and saves them. And that something that comes in and saves them isn't necessarily, all this stuff isn't necessarily true. But if you try to, if you're a dissident of that information and you try and talk to those people, they can't see it. They can't see the evidence for what it is. They'll say that you're wrong. You'll be met with failure. And we're going to see some examples of that when it comes to Bill Maher and Sam Harris. You know who Bill Maher is, right?
Yeah.
You know who?
I know both of them.
Sam Harris as well. Yeah. Sam Harris, super intelligent neuroscientist who's a devout atheist.
Mm-hmm. I've watched some of his videos on atheism.
Yeah, yeah. He's a devout atheist, which is funny because it's its own religion. But, Bill Maher's been pretty good on COVID. He's been pushing back against mandates and, he's been pushing back on masks and stuff like that. And he, you know, he's been pretty decent on that stuff. Where he is not good and where I feel I have grown is the truth about Trump. There's something called Trump derangement syndrome that is because of all the propaganda that's been pushed on about Trump. Through the mainstream media, Trump has been, you know, he's been villainized and looked like he is a Russian colluder and somebody who is like a Russian asset and a Russian agent, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not true. It's not true. There's been two reports. One report was we're gonna go over it. We'll watch this video. And we'll see that even a brilliant neuroscientist like Sam Harris and a very brilliant political talk show host and comedian, Bill Maher, can have mass formation psychosis. And my own dad has that. My brother has that. Oh, two of my brothers have that. You can't tell them the truth and show them scientific evidence because then they won't be able to see it. They will fight you about it. And it's like, well, it's right here. It's true. It's factual evidence. Well, I mean, CNN and NBC and NBC and or MSNBC and the New York Times said this. Well, those are propaganda machines. Those are propaganda tools. They're not real journalistic tools. They're propaganda tools for the military industrial complex and the people that run this country, the oligarch. So let's watch this video. It's from Jimmy, the Jimmy Dore Show. We watch a lot of Jimmy Dore on the podcast. I love their take. I like how they make things funny, but I like how outraged Jimmy gets and his eye twitches a little bit. It's pretty funny. So we'll watch this video and then we'll comment on it. See what Eric and I have to say about it.
New York. Wow, that's a lot of dates. See you there. Polite society. He was on board.
I already watched it, so I got to start it over.
This woman, Mary Catherine Hamm, she went on Bill Maher, I guess, and Sam Harris is still allowed in polite society because he lied on the behalf of this of the polite society. He was on board. He was on all the stuff he said was at the behest of the establishment and Big Pharma, and so that's why he's still allowed on HBO. That's why.
Of course, it's called social norms. What's so hard about, you know?
So watch this. So who is she? She is an American journalist. She's a contributing editor to Town Hall magazine, a writer for The Federalist, a CNN contributor, and an editor for Hot Air. So how the hell? So listen to this Trump derangement. They still. So yeah.
And listen to Sam Harris, how calm his bad points are.
Yeah. So if you, I only have a short clip here. I don't think I have him.
The original sin from both media and the intelligence agencies and federal law enforcement is the Russiagate stuff. And the reason that so many in the party, and I'm here as the translator because I'm not one of them, but so many in the party accept so much of Donald Trump's behavior is because the Russia stuff was a lie.
No, it wasn't all a lie.
It's not all a lie. You guys have...
It was all a lie.
You know, it was all
so,
a lie.
So with the Mueller report concluded... That there was nobody. They had a phone tap on everybody in Donald Trump's campaign. They had a phone tap on everybody, and they couldn't find a crime, and they couldn't find collusion. They couldn't find anything.
It's actually shocking.
It is shocking.
Look at Sam Harris. Yeah.
And so
he's like a creationist.
And so then that after that, then there was the the what's the last report?
Steele dossier.
No.
What, the Mueller report?
The Mueller, and then I'm blanking on.
The one about how the lawyer went and planted the.
No, the last one from the Department of Justice. Why can't I think of the?
Because there's a lot of them.
Ah, this is my brain fog from the marijuana withdrawal. The last report
marijuana
that just came
withdrawal.
Up from the Durham report.
Ah, my bad.
The Durham report. And
I think the Mueller report was first.
I would tell.
And the Durham report was second.
Yeah, I honestly only have heard of the Mueller report anyway.
Yeah, the Durham report, I think, is the one that actually found that there was no, that tapped the phones and there was no, they couldn't find any illegal activity or any connections with Russia and Trump. So let's see.
So the Durham report was like a 3-year investigation into the, and it exposed that the FBI and Barack Obama and the CIA, they all knew that it was a hoax, Russiagate, that was started by the Clinton campaign and the FBI. They all knew this. They told Barack Obama this. So, and I tell people, regular people, like when I go to comedy clubs and other comedians, I go, yeah, the Durham report.
Actually, I think what happened, I think he's kind of misspeaking a little bit, is that the Obama administration authorized from requests from the Clinton camp, Hillary Clinton's camp, tapped Donald Trump's phones, his camps, because neither one of them were president. They were running for president. Clinton and Barack Obama was still president. Clinton and Trump were both running against each other for president. And so as a political tactic, you know, the Clintons said, hey, let's, you know, why don't you use your power since you're in office to tap, you know, his stuff, and let's see if we can find some Russian collusion or something on him. And that's what happened.
Okay.
So it was the Clinton campaign and the in collusion with the current Obama administration that was doing it to somebody who was running for president against the Democratic Party. as a political ploy to thwart him from winning once he gained headway. Because originally they wanted Trump to run.
On Trump himself or someone else?
On Trump and his campaign.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned like some person, so I thought it was someone else other than Trump. But
No. Okay. Who did I mention?
No, you didn't mention anyone. I was just writing that.
On some other person. I'm just saying person that's running against their,
happened to be Trump.
And it happened to be Trump, right? Okay. Yeah. So I'm sure these tactics happen all the time. We just are in the information age, and so all these things come to light a lot faster now. So you can't hold these secrets very long because the public wants to know about them, and there's a, so the universe reveals them to us. So he kind of misspoke a little bit, I think, or maybe I could be misspeaking too. So, but that I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. But and initially, it's funny, the Clinton campaign wanted Donald Trump to run because they thought he would be a patsy to beat. He would be an easy win. So they wanted him to get the nominee. So they were trying to help him get the nominee. Because they were like, oh, this game show host, we can beat him. He's not a politician. He doesn't know the game. He's not that popular.
Get the clown in here, and then and then we can do a landslide win.
Yeah, exactly. Then we don't have to cheat that much, but let's help cheat to get him. You know, whatever. They're like, once he got in, he got super popular, and they got scared. And so they started colluding and going, well, we can't lose power to this guy who's not beholden to the military industrial complex and everything that, we hold sacred and, or whatever. So, and I'm sure it wasn't just the Clintons and Barack Obama. I'm sure it was people that are above them telling them to do it. You know what I mean? I'm sure it wasn't like Hillary had an idea. So she called Barack and Barack pushed a button and made it happen. I don't think it was that simple. I think it was like military industrial complex high up to whoever runs this fucking country for real said, hey, Clinton, I want you to do this. Okay. Hey, Obama, Clinton's going to call you. Do what she says. Okay. That's how I guess it went.
Okay.
They're just pawns.
Okay.
They're just fucking face pieces, masks. So let's jump back in.
Okay, Jimmy, what is this thing, the Durham Report, and how do you know about it? That's what they say, because of course they never heard about it, because the news media doesn't want you to know about it. They wanted you to know about the Steele dossier, which was 100% made up.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, not even the great Sam Harris knows about it.
By the way, Trump is suing Christopher Steele now for the Steele dossier. He's suing him. So this
woman comes on and she's telling the truth to someone like Sam Harris, and who, if he talks softer, that it makes it seem like he's right. And
I just want to preface this. Look, I am not a Trump supporter. I've never been a Trump supporter. I say it all the time, but I'll say it just again and again so I'm clear. I never voted for Trump. I would never vote for Trump. Well, that's not true. I can't say that now. Yeah, I wouldn't. I still wouldn't, because he's a clown and he shouldn't be in office. You know, I'm just thinking, like, do I want 4 more years of Biden, or would I rather have the possibility of Trump doing something better at this point? It's like, I don't know. But my point is, I've never cared about Trump.
It's either 6 or 6/2 dozen.
6. Kind of. It is kind of that way. But, I think he would try and end the war. I think he would try and, shut down the border. I think he would do some things that, would help the economy go back to the way it was, where Joe Biden's, foot's on the throttle to destroying our country. So I don't want a Democrat like that in office, even though I've thought of myself as a Democrat my whole life, but I'm registered as a libertarian. So, I'm more into RFK Jr. or Vivek Ramaswamy. Those are the two people that I think the populist movement, most of America is into those two people more than Trump or Biden. especially Biden, but there is definitely a very loyal Trump set of people in the country that are loyal to Trump. But he didn't get it done in 4 years, so I don't see him getting it done in another 4 years. Let's give somebody else a shot, is my opinion. And these people are not Trump supporters either. The reason they're talking about this is for a totally different reason. We're talking about the truth. And regardless of how you feel about Trump or Biden or whoever, the truth is important. And we all deserve to know what the truth is. And we're the most propagandized country in the world by far. And we're lied to daily. If you look at any mainstream media source, you're being lied to, because they're owned by three mega trillionaires, billionaires, and they're helping run the country with whatever agenda they have. So they're lying to you about almost everything. So the truth is important. They're seeking the truth. I'm a truth seeker. I've always sought the truth, and I think everybody deserves to know the truth. So that's what this is about. And if somebody says that this microphone is black and somebody else says it's green, then there's a problem. And the person that's saying it's green is either colorblind or they're lying. And they're being lied to, or they've been propagandized, and I'm here to say, no, it's black, and they're here to say, no, you're lying, you're wrong. And that's where we need to have that's a part of mass formation psychosis, is where you can't see the truth. You're so propagandized because you are so afraid, and they're going to talk about it. And that's what this is about. Not about Trump and whether you like him or not, because I don't, and I wouldn't vote for him. So
agreed.
Yeah. And Eric agrees, right? Eric's going to vote for Michael Rechtenwald. I think that's his name.
Oh, man. I do not like that last name.
Rechtenwald?
Rechtenwald. You got wrecked, son.
He's not going to build the Rechtenwall.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump back into these goofballs talking about. They're going to get to the whole video, and he does have the part where Sam Harris is talking. So just stay tuned. They'll get to it.
Because he can talk even softer.
Do you have it?
Just like my favorite show, The Two Michaels. If he talks softer.
Do you have his where he goes? Well, it was
talking about Sam Harris.
Social norms.
Well, I don't know. Let's watch. I don't know what
the original sent from both media and the intelligence agencies and federal law enforcement is the Russiagate stuff. And the reason that so many in the party, and I'm here as the translator because I'm not one of them, but so many in the party accept so much of Donald Trump's behavior is because the Russia stuff was a lie.
No, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't all a lie.
It's not all a lie. You guys have been.
I like how they go, was it? Yeah, most of it was a lie.
Was it
a lie? Not it was wrong, but yeah, most of it was a lie. Yes. What? You're not embarrassed that most of Russia, even by your own standard, most of Russiagate was a lie? Even you're not embarrassed. Like some of it might have been true. What? So here we go.
Are you going to do Steele dossier on me?
Some of the Steele dossier was true.
So now Sam Harris goes, that was a lie, and then we go, no, it was true. So you guys,
Bill Maher's never heard of Klaus Schwab at the WEF?
I bet.
We did Mueller report for 3 years.
Yes, and Mueller never said he was innocent.
And the whole time, I'm like, guys, I don't think he's a Russian plant. And everyone.
They just flip criminal justice on its head. So when someone isn't charged with a crime, they go, well, he didn't say he didn't do it.
And that democracy is at stake.
Democracy's at stake.
By authoritarianism.
I don't have the vitriol that I used to have for Bill Maher, because I think most of that was jealousy. But now it's just sad. It's just we know what it's actually scary. Like, you get scared that we, like, I'm afraid I might turn into that. Yeah. Like, I used to always say, I can't wait to sell out and all that stuff. I'm like, but, like, what if he just slipped? Like, he doesn't know he's this being this wrong.
All these like people.
Sam Harris does.
Yeah, when you get high to a higher
he's just
level,
a liar. Yeah.
No, I think he's a conscious liar, Sam Harris, because
yes,
no way.
He is. There's no way. Yeah. But I think Bill Maher is actually duped.
Yeah.
He literally is going to argue for
the
steal. He's going
to look into it. Once you get to a certain level, why would you? You already know all the people.
So there's that saying from Carl Sagan, once you've been bamboozled long enough, you tend to just discard any evidence against the band.
So what Kurt said there is very important, because once you get to a certain level, why would you look into it? You already know all the people. So that's a big part. I mean, we see that. Have you listened to the podcast called Smartless?
No, actually.
Okay. It's Jason Bateman. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah.
Sean Hayes from Will and Grace.
Okay, yeah.
And Will Arnett.
Oh, Will, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Will Arnett, the guy that talks like this.
Yep.
Hey, guys, Will Arnett. And I guess they're all three good friends, and they started a podcast during the pandemic when they couldn't work or whatever, and it got really popular. Really popular.
Gotcha.
And it's great, but they had Joe Biden on, Jen Psaki.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, they had Biden and Jen Psaki.
When he was president or before?
When he was president.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, spewing propaganda, right? So they're... They're guys who are connected. Now they have two of them have like an AT&T commercial. They're very popular. They've gone on tour, right? Their careers were already good, but their careers are getting better. They're making more and more money. And, you know, they're yes men. They're just yes men that aren't willing to push aren't willing to ask questions or push because they already know all the people. They had President Joe Biden on their podcast. They had Jen Psaki, former press secretary, on their podcast. So they're not going to push. They're not going to say anything negative about COVID. They're not going to say anything negative about vaccines. What if they got injured or they have a friend who got injured? They're not going to bring that up. Why would they do that? Why would they ask questions? They're making all the money in the world. They have, you know, great standings in society. They're a part of Hollywood. People like them. They couldn't not be liked. I mean, could you imagine being not liked? Oh, and then your money goes, and then you don't get to make money from Sprint commercials. You know, it's like in some show on Netflix and your precious podcast. Like, I do this show for free. I'm asking questions. I want the truth. I think the truth is more important than status in Hollywood or money. But if you're brainwashed and you're already at that level and you're like, well, we better just, you know, toe the line so that we don't get canceled or, you know, you see those jokes all the time. Like there was an Adam Sandler movie with his daughter, with his kids in it and his wife. They just did a new Netflix movie called You're So Not Coming to My Bar Mitzvah. It's a good movie. I watched it. But his daughter's the star of the movie. He's like 15 or whatever. I don't know how old they are when they bar mitzvah, but
16.
Yeah, she's like 16 or whatever. And there's something like, Dad, stop it. You're going to get canceled. There's like that kind of joke in it.
Yeah.
He's like, canceled what? You know? I'm not going to get canceled. And, so it's all over Hollywood. It's like, don't get canceled. When am I going to get canceled? You know, they don't want to toe the line so they don't get canceled. Anyway, I just thought that was a good point by Kurt. Any thoughts?
No matter what you do on the internet, you're always going to make someone mad. There was this actually interesting thought with the cancel culture where people are saying like, oh, it's like an attack on free speech or like free speech losing power or whatever. But one guy brought up, I think it's actually like a testament of how free speech can be so powerful. If you use it wrong in a wrong way, you can lose your job. You could lose your, any semblance of a reputation. And I just thought that was an interesting twist on it. It's where, hey, if you're not careful, yes, things can happen. It's like everyone wants to be, it's like everyone is bored on the internet, and as soon as someone comes out like, oh, this is slightly controversial, get them.
Right.
South Park made a joke of this where they're like, hey, you want to do this carefully. The American people are bored. So we got to do it this right, and then they'll be on our side. You know, it's like a perfect commentary of like of the internet attacking someone based on sheer speculation and rumor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I heard Vivek Ramaswamy. I've also heard Dave Smith from Part of the Problem. He's a comedian. Great podcast. And Vivek was talking with Zuby, and they were, both of them has said the same thing. They said, you know, we shouldn't have this cancel culture. We shouldn't have these laws that are like, you know, you can't be a racist or you can't discriminate against people. Like, because of what you just said, Eric, if I have a shop and I say, I don't like, name your whatever group, Asian, Jewish, you know,
right.
I don't like people from New Zealand, but you know, whatever, just arbitrary, whatever it is. Right, yeah. And you put that in the window, you're going to get less business.
Right.
People aren't going to go to your shop as much.
Right.
Unless you're attracting people that are like-minded, and then you're probably going to get that business.
Yeah.
But you're going to get less business by doing that. So allowing people to discriminate and to do those things is just going to end up hurting them in the long run, which is going to smooth it out. So we don't really have the need for these, you know, policies and laws, because it's a self flushing law. Like society will flush out the bigots.
Right.
Exactly what you just said.
Quite literally, that's whenever I'm talking with Chris, because he's like big capitalist guy, like all the capitalists almost, except like in certain situations. But yeah, no, he was literally talking that way. Like there's a coffee shop he mentioned from Washington that tried to do a communist coffee shop. And basically it's like, oh yeah, you can just pay whenever you want, basically. And they went out of business within like a month. And it's like, well, yeah, because that's stupid. You can't be a commune by it yourself.
Yeah.
Communism is based off the word community.
Yeah.
You need to have a community.
Yeah.
To make it work.
Well, that happened in Chaz in Seattle, right? That
I don't know if that was it.
They were trying to make a socialist or communist, whatever, community, but they ended up like having to keep rapists and riffraff and drug addicts out, so they had to have armed gunmen. The autonomous zone or whatever. It was like, oh, well, look who you're attracting. You're attracting idiots. You're attracting the lowest of the low, and now you're like, well, that's not good. Maybe we should get some policing going on here. Backfire. All right, let's jump back into this.
The point where you don't even want to fucking know.
Mueller didn't
see
you.
And that's what this is. So I got it loud. I don't want to stop anymore. Let's see how much we have.
CNN said is looking at me like I'm crazy. And at the end, we get to not much there, which
no,
was
there
the
was
case
quite
throughout.
A bit there.
There was a lot there.
There was a lot there. Yeah. There was collusion we never had before. It was unprecedented.
Sam's
going to tell you.
Okay.
President would do that. He just did it in public because he's insane.
You do know.
So if he did it and it was unprecedented and it was in public, why wasn't he charged with a crime by Mueller? Why?
Yeah.
Well, if it was so blatant and so he didn't even hide it, and you still couldn't charge him with a crime?
Bill said, I think what he's referring to is Trump saying, Russia, please hack him.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that. He's talking about that. I swear to God.
You know, that's how.
Maybe they can find their emails, that thing.
Russia would not have maybe done it unless Trump said that out loud.
They wouldn't have done it.
I swear to God, I think he's saying that.
I think that's what he's referring to.
Advantages of being insane.
Most of it.
probably none of it was illegal. Right, so I mean, this was always David Frum's line. Everything he's doing is in plain view, and it's not illegal. He's just violating every political norm we have.
Norms! There are things.
That's what I'm talking about. Norms. That's why I've been babbling that, because he said it, the great Sam Harris. So David Frum...
who said the Iraq war was a success.
Yes, David Frum, who gave us the axis of evil and lied about us into a war. Well, David Frum, this is who they're quoting. Iraq war pigs. This is who they're... David Frum, who, correct me if I'm wrong, wrote a book about how smart George W. Bush was.
That's an oxymoron.
Well, he's a great painter.
This is amazing. This is, like, this is still going on.
Well, Joey Mueller.
Do you really think that they let a guy who was actively colluding with a foreign enemy, they let him be fucking president for 5 seconds? If a guy was but you know who's actually colluding with a foreign country to screw America? The whole Congress, both political parties, and the oligarchy that runs this country. That's who's actually colluding with other countries to screw over America. It turned out it wasn't Donald Trump. It's every one of his accusers.
Yep.
This is unbelievable. This is still going on. After the Durham report, after the it just doesn't matter.
But look, there's still the thing. Okay, so the narrative so far that they've just expressed is, no, it wasn't all not true. It wasn't all a lie. There was some stuff they did. He just did it out loud like no one's ever done it. Mueller didn't say he was innocent. And no, none of it was illegal. But
what? So what?
Mueller didn't say he's innocent of violating norms?
Right.
Is that so what in the hell?
They just said nothing he did was illegal. It just violated norms. So apparently being a traitor and colluding with a foreign government against your own people, that's not of course that's illegal. He didn't do it. That's why.
Oh, Russia didn't hack Hillary's emails, by the way.
And
so
they
it's kind of a moot point.
And Russia
did. Because it wasn't Russia who did that.
It wasn't Russia who did that. And now the CIA is keeping Seth Rich's computer locked up for 65 years.
That doesn't
I don't know who did it. I bet it was Russia. We debunked that on our show, Kurt, before I ever met you. I had Bill Binney on the show, and he talked about how that could have... And we're the first show to do it, I think. So I'll take the credit.
So you're on 20 years, usually you get to know all the lies. But usually for the average crimes, 20 years. These are all 65 and up years hidden crimes.
So Bill Maher doesn't have a staff that could, someone who does, no, some nerd who does research on the internet, like, no, it turns out this is all a scam.
Well,
they don't care. I can do it.
I'm guessing his staff is not as enchanted with Bill Maher at the moment.
Yeah.
There were things that were illegal, using the FISA court to spy on American citizens in ways that they should not have done.
That wasn't him.
Yeah, the actual illegal things that were done weren't done by Trump. They were done by the FBI. That's who was doing the illegal things. They lied 17 times that I know about. Mm-hmm. They lied 17 times to the FISA court so they could get a phone tap on Donald Trump, and they still couldn't get a crime.
They changed an email too, right? Remember, I can't remember the guy who got charged. They changed an email so they can obtain these.
Here's political norms. Normally, we do all that whatever we want, and you don't get to.
And you don't get to.
That's normal.
And the fact that the Hillary Clinton campaign was partially responsible for funding this dossier, which partially came from, Russian disinformation.
Yes,
it was
literally.
And it started this cycle of media circle jerk, and then we had 4 years of that.
Not exactly everything they said it was, but it's not nothing.
The standard of evidence used for the Russia thing for 3-4 years versus the standard of evidence used now in media for Biden and Hunter Biden's shenanigans and fairly obvious influence peddling is worlds apart. Worlds apart. And I would just like to... And voters deserve fairness in how these two people are treated. They do not get it, and they sometimes don't get it from law enforcement. And here's the problem. A bunch of people, including in the justice system, looked at Trump and said, he's going to bust all the norms, and you know what we need to do? Bust all the norms to stop him. And that is very unhelpful.
Not bust norms. Break the law over and over again.
That's
actually
right. They broke the law.
We got to go way farther than busting the norms.
And so here is...
Here we go.
Gonna, remember we had, my withdrawal fog. We had this gentleman on the show to talk about mass formation psychosis, and he's going to explain what you just saw from Bill Maher, Sam Harris, and their audience. So watch this.
It's extremely hard to wake someone up who is in the process of mass formation. But Gustave Le Bon, I don't know if you're familiar with Gustave Le Bon, he wrote a very important book on mass formation in the 19th century, The Psychology of the Crowds, it was called. And he describes already there that if the people who are not in the mass formation try to wake up the people who are in a mass formation, then they will be confronted probably with failure. They will be confronted with the fact that
So I've experienced this with Russiagate. I've experienced this with Syria. I've experienced this with lockdowns, with COVID, with mandates, with vaccines. I've experienced all to try to wake the people up from this, and they call you crazy. But at least some of my comedian friends with Russiagate said to me, Jimmy, how did you know he wouldn't get indicted? Jimmy, how did you know when the Mueller report came out? How did you know?
I looked into my past ball, the things that happened.
What I do is I don't think that what they're telling me on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, and the Wall Street Journal and New York Times, I don't think that's the real, because it's not. That's propaganda. It's owned by a handful of billionaires that run the world and don't care about this country and certainly don't care about you. So everything you're seeing pretty much is propaganda.
But one side must be the good one, though, right?
Any thoughts on that?
None.
All right.
Honestly, I have not really even looked into Russiagate because I don't really care.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, I'm over here, like, I don't watch news. I have not watched any news in probably like well over a decade, either side, left or right. And I'm not really on social media a whole lot. Like, I'm on YouTube learning, like, maybe stuff about physics and science and video game walkthroughs and that kind of stuff, like design choices in video games and how they do visual effects in movies. That's what I'm into.
That's all great stuff, and it's important to be into stuff. But the next video we're going to watch, and this is, I guess, pretty much over. The next video we're going to watch explains why we need to at least be aware of this stuff, because it's going to change our life if we're not. If we're not aware of the totalitarianism that's coming for us, then we're in for a different... We're going to wake up one day, and it's going to be... we're going to be living in China, basically. That's a real possibility. And people might think I'm crazy when I say that, but when you watch this next video, have you ever been to the World Economic Forum website? Have you ever poked around on that website? Have you ever been to the WHO's website? Have you ever looked into those websites? If you look on their websites and you start reading their content and you start understanding what those mechanisms are doing, they're ushering in a totalitarian regime, and they are part of the WHO is basically going to run the world in short time, in a very short amount of time, within a year or two, within this year, could be within this year. And then everything's going to be on digital IDs and digital currencies. And then you're going to have a social credit score system just like China. And that's a very big possibility within the next 12 months. I think I remember that she said the next 12 months. But the next video is going
to... I mean, right there, I can tell you that that's not going to happen. The majority of the world's transactions is still money. Like, America is an outlier when it comes with, like, the paperless money. Like, we can go in our entire lives at this point of never seeing a dollar, really. Because we just use credit cards or Google Wallets or Apple Pay. But the world as a whole, they're using money. So they would need to upend the entire economic way that any of that works. that would require a lot of effort.
Well, I mean, that's great that you say that, but Australia just went digital.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
so, and we've already seen instances of like the trucker convoy in Canada, where if you're using PayPal or not PayPal, what is it? GoFundMe and stuff like that, that the government can shut you down and take your money through GoFundMe. So GoFundMe is an operative of the CIA or whatever. Like they are in cahoots with whatever, at least the US government and the Canadian government. So these are signs of a changing of the guard. I mean, I just went to Chase Stadium and want to talk a little bit about the playoffs at the end of this, but I just went to Chase Stadium on Saturday and watched the baseball game, and it is a cashless stadium.
Gotcha. Well, you still went there.
I did. I didn't know it was a cashless stadium. Yeah. And like Jeff's card got compromised, so he just got cash to bring. And, you know, and then he had to pay me cash and I had to use my card. It was like a whole deal, you know. It's like,
oh, gosh.
He's like, what? You know, they're trying to control us. You know, they're trying to turn us into a big ant farm, basically. And they're going to succeed unless we do something about it. And if we just sit here and go, oh, I play video games. Oh, I just do this. Oh, I just do that. And I don't really pay attention to those things because I don't really care. You're going to wake up in a dystopian future someday. And then you're going to care, and it's going to be too fucking late. So that's why I'm bringing this stuff up, because it is advancing, and it may take a year or two, but it is advancing, and it's been advancing. You know, we're like the lobsters in the nice warm bath getting slow boiled, and it's going to happen. So you think it won't. I think it will. And I hope you're right. And I hope I'm wrong. So we'll see what happens. But
right. I mean, I'm conflicted. Me personally, I'm kind of conflicted on it just because I know, like, I'm also, you know, a bit of a history buff, and I know how, like, what Hitler came to power and a few dictators throughout history, how they came to power. Yeah, it just started with those slow, methodical steps. Where, like, one of the first things is, like, a curfew law of sorts. And a lot of people may not think, like, well, it's just a curfew. Well, it's just, it's the starting point. And then they build upon that. The next step, and then the next step after that, next after that. That's one of the things that,
Yeah, and all of a sudden, they're, you know, gassing people.
Right.
In the showers, right?
Concentration camps.
Yeah.
And yeah, out the wazoo, and boy. Yeah.
But that's the, you know, that works. It works for humans. Because it's like one little incremental change isn't that really big of a deal. And then you get used to it. And then you go back to your video games, and you go back to your whatever, and you go back to your life, and you don't even think about it. And then another little change. And then you're like, well, wait, what was that? I don't know if I like that. But, oh, squirrel, shiny thing over here. Cool, not a big deal. Well, let's forget about it. It's not a big deal. And then it just keeps happening and keeps going and keeps going until the totalitarianism regime takes over, which is what they're trying to do. In the second video, we'll explain it better. It's doctors and lawyers, people that are, you know, smarter than me in their field of expertise. It's a Dr. Drew Pinsky. So we'll watch that in a second.
Okay, I got.
They are unable to wake up the masses, but he says, nevertheless, it is extremely important to continue to speak out, because if people continue to speak out, the hypnosis might become less deep, and it will become less deep. Gustave Le Bon presents several historical examples of situations in which people who were awake continued to speak out and prevented the masses from committing atrocities, because that's typically what masses do. Because one function of the mass formation is the satisfaction of all this frustration and aggression, you know, the fourth condition. Masses typically have the inclination to show the tendency to commit atrocities, and they typically do it being convinced that they perform an almost sacral pledge, and that it's some that they do something that is really their duty, and that has to do with the fact that people in mass formation are convinced that what they do is for the greater good, for the well-being of the collective. But they forget, of course, that it is for the well-being of a certain collective and at the disadvantage of another.
Okay, so that's all I wanted to play for that. So, you know, the certain collective gets this mass formation brought onto the collective, and a larger percent of the sheep fall prey to it. And the people that are awake say, hold on, that's not true. You're doing the bidding of this smaller group of people, and it's good for them and bad for all of us, including you. And they're so stuck in their mass formation that they go, no, they're right. No, they wouldn't lie to us. No, you're wrong. You're crazy. And they get stuck in that. And so that's exactly what's been happening during COVID.
That's also like literally every conspiracy theorist as well. Like, no, I'm right. And then you show them like, no, we did land on the moon. But I know, no, you're just part of the sheeple.
Yeah,
the
but
other the thing that I thought of as well.
Yeah, but hold on, let me address that. But those are extreme. Those are things that aren't hurting anybody. Whether we landed on the moon or not isn't hurting anybody. But whether or not you should take a vaccine and put it into your body could hurt people. So it's different. 9/11 hurt people, right? So, you know, right. Bigfoot doesn't hurt anybody. You know, conspiracy theory about Bigfoot. The earth being round or flat, that doesn't hurt anybody, right? So there are... Most of the conspiracy theories recently have, like, when I said that masks don't work, I was called a conspiracy theorist. When I was saying that I don't know about the mRNA vaccine because it was rushed and they're trying to sell it really hard, that makes me nervous as a salesperson. When they're trying to convince me through fear, and then convince me through persuasion, and then convince me with incentives, and then convince me with negative consequences, then my natural inclination is to go, no, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with that thing because of the way that you're trying to sell it to me as a salesperson, right? And it turns out that my conspiracy theory was correct. And then all the scientists now are saying, all the real scientists, not the fake fucking bought and paid for scientists. I'm saying the real scientists that are not bought and paid for, that are independent, that are only trying to find the truth, that are working on the front lines, that have worked through COVID in the hospitals and done these treatments. And, you know, the most published cardiologist in all of cardiology, he's wrote over 700 papers on cardiology. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough is doing experiments on he's, you know, not like crazy stuff, but he's doing science on patients and coming up with, you know, hypotheses and conclusions about, you know, the mRNA and pericarditis and how it affects the heart and lungs and things that it's done to people. There's another video that we may or may not have time to watch, but we might watch it next week. He's a scientist, radiologist, cancer doctor. I don't know all the terminologies, but he's in Canada, and he's talking about the turbo cancers that people are getting. And if you talked about that 6 months ago, you'd be called a conspiracy theorist. But now there are doctors, legitimate doctors, that are talking about cases of 18-year-olds that have colon cancer in stage 4. And you have other doctors saying, I've never in my 30 years of and they're vaccinated with Moderna. And you had cases where they have, what's the blood disease cancer? Leukemia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they have stage 4 and they're dying within days or weeks of diagnosis. they're coming in with symptoms and dying within days or weeks of diagnosis. That is a verbatim quote from that doctor. And the only common denominator is the Moderna vaccine, an mRNA shot. So, you know, if you would have said that 6 months ago, the mainstream media and social media would call you a conspiracy theorist. But it turns out masks don't work. mRNA is dangerous. And especially with young people, and especially with young athletes who are dropping dead, and especially with, you know, young children. He said an 11-year-old boy came in with brain cancer and died within a year. Like, you know, which is more common, but colon cancer's not. There's nobody under the age of 45 gets colon cancer ever in the history of humankind. It just doesn't happen. So... you know, so anyway, I just wanted to go over the mass formation psychosis and why people are pushing back, but we have to keep speaking up. That's the only way to break through. The only way to break through to these people, like my dad, my brothers, and maybe even Eric Anderson sitting here may have a little mass formation psychosis, is to keep speaking up and keep bringing the facts and keep trying to help them unravel the amount of brainwashing and hypnosis that they've been put under through all the fear. It's not their fault. It's not your fault, Eric. Okay? It's not your fault, man. Hey, no, yeah, it's not your fault.
I just look up scientific papers in my spare time, so.
Yeah.
They're obviously all bought and paid for.
A lot of them are, actually. And a lot of scientists are pointing out those papers, especially the big ones, like the big ones that you were supposed to, you know, like, scientific journal and shit like that are all bought and paid for now. So be careful what you read, because
that's what a lot of conspiracy theorists will say too, though.
No, that's what doctors are saying, Eric.
No, that the thing where it's like, oh yeah, don't believe any of them. Believe me, I'm the expert in this field.
Yeah, but these aren't conspiracy theorists. These are biologists and frontline workers, and there's a whole slew of them.
Conspiracy theorists too.
Not as maybe as individuals, but not as of a separate collective that are all saying the same thing. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah. But I appreciate the pushback. I mean, you know, I hope that you can at some point hear and see the truth for what it really is, because, you know, you are somebody who got duped into taking something that you may or may not have wanted to, right? And, you know, so like a lot of us did. My dad did, and he got sent to OHSU for a brain bleed. You know, my brother has a heart arrhythmia now at 39 years old. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a conspiracy theory though, right? Okay, let's listen to this conspiracy theory, Eric.
All right, welcome back. I'm going to be joined now with Reggie Littlejohn, who I said previously, I knew of her actually from her work in women's rights. She's the president of Women's Rights Without Borders. She more recently has been a co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition and the Stop Vaccine Passports Task Force. She is and incidentally also has a JD from a law degree from Yale University. She's an expert, clearly, at what's going on with the World Health Organization and the UN. And I really want to get into the weeds a little bit on the details of what is it that the World Health Organization is trying to do with this treaty? What does the treaty actually say? What would the implications be? What is the U.S. doing or not doing in response to this pending treaty and those sorts of things? So let's bring on Reggie Littlejohn to join me. Reggie, thank you for being here. As I said, I knew of you based on your work really on women's issues and abortion issues and things of that sort long before the COVID debacle came down the pike. Now you are the person who I would look to really for the details on what is going on with the World Health Organization. I have never been a fan of the WHO, and these last 3.5 years have validated that concern. But let's, before we even get truly into the sort of the ramifications or implications of this treaty, take a few minutes and give us a primer. What is the treaty, the WHO treaty? We've had other people on, Dr. Kat Lindley in the past, to talk a little bit about it, but take a few minutes and actually explain what is it that's on the table, and then we'll talk about what it might mean for us and the rest of the world.
Well, I'm happy to do that. And also, just to clarify, when we talk about Women's Rights Without Frontiers, I founded that to stop forced abortion in China. So that's the, and it's because of my work watching coercive population control and the way that China, the totalitarian regime in China, the way it's coming all over the world now through the WHO and the United Nations. So it's my background in Chinese human rights that has enabled me to see how the China model is being exported worldwide mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. the World Health Organization and the United Nations, and also other globalist organizations. So with respect to the pandemic treaty and the international health regulations, there are two documents that are being negotiated right now at the World Health Organization. One is amendments to the international health regulations. The other one is a pandemic treaty. They work together to create what I believe is a totalitarian, globalist, medical police state, basically. So the international health regulations, what they want to do is they want to do things like delete the words non-binding, to turn the World Health Organization from an advisory body into a body that has the power of coercion. And then when you combine that with the pandemic treaty, but first of all, I should just say, the World Health Organization does not call this a treaty. It calls it a framework, a convention. It calls it anything but a treaty because it doesn't want it to have to go through the U.S. Senate and the other legislative bodies for ratification. The way that ratification works within the World Health Assembly is every country gets one vote. So the United States gets a vote, one vote, same as the smallest country in the world gets one vote. And if it passes, in the case of a treaty, it would have to be 75%, 3/4 pass rate, I believe. So in any case, or it might be 66%, but in any case, it's a super majority. So the point is, they don't want to call it a treaty because they don't want it to have to go through a second kind of ratification. But what it will do is it will interfere with the doctor-patient relationship. The World Health Organization wants the power to say what medications you can and cannot have, and also what medications you must have. They want the power to force vaccination. They want the power to enable, basically to tell the United States if we have a pandemic or any kind of a health event in the United States. They want the power to tell us that we have to have mask mandates, vaccine mandates, lockdowns, whatever it is, they will call the shots. And that's why we founded the Sovereignty Coalition, because this will absolutely destroy U.S. sovereignty and the sovereignty of any country in the world if you have an organization, a globalist organization outside of your country telling you what you have to do. Then you're no longer a sovereign nation. You're no longer making your sovereign decisions over healthcare. Not only that, but they, but in order to, let's say that they decide in the next pandemic that they that everybody needs to be vaccinated, they can use that as a pretext to force basically a surveillance. So what they will do with this surveillance is they want to have they want to have basically vaccine passports, although the Stop Vaccine Passports Task Force, I think, did a lot to make that nomenclature toxic or radioactive. So now they call it a digital ID, but it doesn't matter what you call it. It could be called a smart health card, digital ID, Excelsior pass, whatever it is. If it's a mandatory digital ID, it can give rise to the China social credit system. And that's actually how I came into this issue, because of my work in China. I saw that the vaccine passport would support the platform that they have in China, which is that they surveil everything about you, like, okay, facial recognition, real-time geolocation. They know what you look like. They know where you are. All your social media posts, your internet search history, your internet spending history, all of that. And they come up with a number about how compliant of a citizen that you.
Okay, so we're already halfway there. I mean, we already have facial recognition on our phones. We already have geo-tracking everywhere that you go through Google, right? We already have tracking your, like, if you have Chase Bank like I do, I'm sure that's all given to the U.S. government.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
The, what was it? There was a YouTube video I saw recently. Oh, I don't know if you follow this guy, but his name is MatPat, and he has, like, these film and game theories, and there's just, like, fun thought experience, basically. But he took on, like, AI, like, facial recognition, how many times you're recorded in the U.S., so it's the U.S., and he put down, like, you were recorded about 7 times a day on average, and over the course of a week, you can be, like, recorded over 30 times.
Whoa.
Depending on where you go, and, you know, and he's like, he's just asking these questions. How many are you aware of? Did you consent to any of them? Like, and that is very troubling. My thoughts on the Chinese credit score, that is definitely a grand concern. I mean, heck, it was a Black Mirror episode that I saw, and I was like,
just prepping us.
That's
propaganda prepping.
Well,
maybe
it was a Black Mirror episode of how bad it can go.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really call that propaganda, but
maybe not.
It's it's concerning to say the least.
Well, we don't have time. We're going to end this, but here's the control that the WHO wants to have. They want to have, this is from the WHO, this chart. It's One Health. They call it One Health, which is creepy already. Human health and animal health are independent at the same time, are interdependent, excuse me, at the same time. Both depend on the environment. So for human health, we have diet and security and food and antibiotics and other antimicrobials. For animal health, we have security and food, antibiotics and antimicrobials, and we have intensive livestock disease vectors. And then we go into the other side of human social determinants, population movements. Sorry, it's a little fuzzy on my end, folks. It could be my 44-year-old eyesight. Climate change, water pollution. Of course, they got to throw in climate change, right? Climate change, water pollution, air pollution, deforestation. What does that say?
Biodiversity loss.
Oh, that's an I. Okay. Yeah, I didn't see the... It looked like an L.
Oh, gotcha.
Blood diversity loss.
Opening up a new school, Luke. It's going to be called Blood Diversity.
It's the Russian environment. So it's Russia taking over. I knew it. It's not China. Bunch of liars.
It's both of them.
And then the more concerning one is I went way too far. The WEF, the World Economic Forum, this is their chart, and this is the digital ID. And
yeah, now that,
This is the digital ID and everything that would be controlled under the digital ID. And I looked on the website today, and I downloaded it, and I printed it out. I don't know why I did, but anyway. What it said is digital IDs can really help to make lives better in the world. I'm like, whose lives?
Well, that's the thing.
Whose, like, lives? Your fucking, like, lives?
Like, possibly, but at the same time, it's like, how, like, who can we even trust to give that much control?
But to open bank accounts. Okay, so first, health, for users to access insurance treatment, to monitor health devices, wearables.
Yep.
For care providers to determine their qualifications. And then you got financial services. You'll need this to open a bank account to carry out online financial transactions. Yeah. That's your money. That's what I'm talking about, digital currency, right?
Yep, yep, yep.
So they don't even need digital currencies. All they have to do is get the banks on board, like they have already shown with PayPal and GoFundMe. So they've already shown that they can control GoFundMe and PayPal. So that's already one inch, okay? They're going to go another inch.
Well, no, they don't even need to do another inch. To become a bank or credit union or banking institution, and you want to provide FDIC, like, insurance, those are some of the qualifications right there.
I'm just saying.
Like, hey.
Yes, I agree.
So,
but we're going to see Chase do it, Bank of America do it. You see what I'm saying? That's all I meant by another inch. Another establishment will be reported that they shut some shit down. We've already seen two. Now we're going to see 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, and all of them. And then it's under control. That's what I mean by another inch.
I mean, I feel like that's already has happened. There's so many people, like, I mean, that granted have tried to abuse the system. And then, like, Chase says, okay, you can't use ATM machines anymore, or ATMs anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how far, yeah. Yeah, you just got to change your policy, and then you can add in, like, oh, yeah, look at all this vague language, and now we can shut down anyone at anywhere at any time.
Yeah. Well, this lady says that this is going to happen 100%.
Gotcha.
That it's going to happen 100% because what she just explained, that they're bypassing Congress. They're not saying it's a treaty. So all they need is one vote per country. And she said, we need a president that's not on board with this. And right now we don't have one. Biden is on board with this, and he will vote yes on this. And all they need is 67% of the countries. There's already plenty of other countries. The UK already is in this. The UK in the West.
Yeah.
They already voted yes.
Obviously. I mean, you look at their CCTV camera.
Yeah.
So that's not too surprising. No. But heck, my thing was, like, Biden isn't going to be on board. He is not going to be even aware of it. He's told to pay you vote yes. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is whoever is pulling his strings is going to get him to vote yes. And he's going to be like, oh, yeah. Come on, man. Food and sustainability for farmers and consumers to verify provenance of produce to enhance value and traceability in supply chains. Oh, just traceability in supply chains, so that, you know, we could come find you and drone strike your truck in the supply chain if we need to, if you did a bad thing. Travel and mobility to book trips to go through border control between countries or regions. like states or regions.
So anyone in the UK going anywhere else in the European Union, European Union. Sorry.
Yeah.
So going from
the Germany EU
to Belgium. Yeah.
Yeah. Anywhere in the EU, which is a massive amount of places.
Yeah.
Isn't there something similar in Africa too?
Yeah.
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 So yeah, to travel through countries in Africa, to travel maybe in states in America, that might be considered regions.
Possibly.
To them.
A state. Yeah.
If they're making up the rules, why wouldn't they lock us into our states? Why wouldn't they?
Damn.
Yeah, no more free America.
Oh, man.
To access services, just to access services, period. To demonstrate qualifications to work in foreign countries. E-commerce, to shop. So you can't go on Amazon and shop, you know, Shopify, you know, all this big push for, like, don't go get your groceries. Don't worry about that. Just order it online so the WEF can control it. So you can get the ID, and then you may or may not get groceries based on what the fuck you're saying. You said too many fucking F words. You said cunt. How dare you say cunt? You don't get groceries this week. That's what this shit's going to do. To shop, to conduct business, transactions, and secure payments. Oh, so me as a business owner, in order to do business, I have to get me and my employees this ID or I won't be able to conduct business transactions and secure payments. Fuck you. Social platforms for social interactions. To access third-party services that rely on social media logins. Like Twitter. It has a little Twitter bird there. Wonder why they did that. E-government. For citizens to access the use and use services. File taxes, vote, and collect benefits. You can't fucking vote. You can't vote unless you get one of these IDs and you're all in line. And if you vote wrong, what's going to happen? They're going to shut down all the other shit. You better vote for Jinping Lee or whatever the fuck his name is, our new leader. For citizens' access and use of services to vote and to for the privilege of paying your taxes. Yes, and you better pay your taxes. Otherwise, we're going to shut all this shit down, too. And we're upping your taxes. Yay. It's now 50% across the board for everyone. You know what? Make it around 60. Make it 66.6666%. Telecommunications for users to own and use devices. Service providers, monitor devices, and data on the network. So to use the internet. So now they're going to control the internet.
This is so damn powerful.
Yes. Gets worse. Smart cities to monitor devices and sensors transmitting data such as energy usage, air quality, traffic congestion. Smart cities. Fuck you. This is awful. So go to this lady, Reggie Littlejohn. Look her up.
Love her last name, Little John.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Robin Hood. Little John.
Robin Hood and Little John. The co-founder of the Sovereignty Coalition and the Stop Vaccine Passports Task Force. Support her. I plan on supporting her. I'll do anything to avoid this. I hope you guys will too. That is it for us for today. One thing, I want to end on a funny note. This is all doom and gloom. I know it's doom and gloom today, but we need to hear it. We need to talk about it. We need to spread it, and we need to stop it by all means necessary. And I don't have kids, but, you know, a lot of you have kids, and you don't want your kids living with an ID, a digital ID world, do you? Well, let's man the fuck up, and let's take this shit over, all right? Well, here's something funny. Went to the ball game the other day, and the Diamondbacks are in the playoffs, so our Arizona Diamondbacks are in the playoffs. Got to go watch their second-to-last game where they clinched. They lost, but somebody else lost, so they clinched the playoff. They swept their wild card round against the Brewers, and they're into the next round against L.A. So the next round starts Saturday or something like that, and we were looking up home games. And they're the sixth seed, and they're playing like the one or two seed. I'm not sure what the LA is. I think the two seed. No, it'd be the one seed. Yeah, and they're playing the Dodgers, so they have the third and fourth game are at home for them. And my wife sent me this. Because the Diamondbacks sucked so bad last year and the year before, D-backs playoff game postpones Guns N' Roses concert next week. Concert was previously scheduled for October 11th, the first game at Chase Field. Arizona Diamondbacks playoff games have caused the cancellation of upcoming Guns N' Roses concert in Phoenix. The rock and roll legends Guns N' Roses were set to perform at Chase Field on Wednesday, October 11th, just days before the end of their world tour in Canada on the 16th. However, with the D-backs in the playoffs and game three is now set to take place at Chase Field on October 11th. Pink also is scheduled Has a scheduled concert at Chase Field on Monday, October 9th, the same day the D-backs are set to play a game at Dodgers Stadium. Diamondbacks president and CEO Derek Hall appeared on ABC blah blah Thursday morning and said Guns N' Roses show as well as Pink's concert scheduled for Monday were both postponed. I don't know yet the dates. We'll make sure everyone has new dates and are scheduled. Not sure what they are yet, but they're postponed. So just goes to show you that that everybody can accidentally double book some things, even MLB teams that didn't think they were going to make it into the playoffs or make it that far and scheduled out concerts in advance, but they did make it, and now they got to postpone Pink and Guns and fucking Roses. Let's go, Seahawks, and let's go, Diamondbacks. See you next week.